If we're on page 19, Bnei Machshava Toiva, the Rebbe was discussing was the difficulty that we have with any type of pure spiritual thought. And we don't even know what that means. And that man in general has difficulty doing that and has a need to visualize. Right? There's a need to visualize. That's the way that we've grown up thinking. We're accustomed to doing that. And he explains that perhaps is the root of the Cheta Egel, as it was understood by a number of the Mefarshim, that it originated in this extreme, and he said extreme, and what eventually became an obscene need to visualize God. It was a destructive and extreme demand to visualize Hashem. On the other hand, we just saw that the Rebbe felt compassion for this chassid who came to him and expressed to the Rebbe his frustration that he didn't understand exactly what he was supposed to do, that when he was trying to imagine Hashem, tried to have a thought of holding on to Hashem, with the Kisya covered, the throne of glory of Hashem, that he felt frustrated. On the one hand, he's supposed to have some sort of a thought of godliness. On the other hand, he was very familiar with the prohibition of the Rambam, the halacha that you're not allowed to visualize, you're not allowed to in any way see Hashem or represent spirituality in a physical form. And he expressed this frustration to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe and the Piazetzna responded by saying that certainly a man has been accustomed from the time that he's in this world to using a physical image in order to envision something, and that therefore any thought that is without any vision whatsoever in the understanding of a person is cold and is lifeless. We're supposed to imagine God as some sort of a wind, as an empty space, as a black hole. And this is not something that a human being can find inspiring, having grown up and trained himself to think of things, to be inspired only by thoughts that contain vivid and colorful physical representations and pictures, images. So this is something the Rebbe says that one has to contend with. The truth of the matter is that the Rishonim already spoke about this. It's found in the fifth drasha of the drashas Aran of Rabbeinu Nissim. The fifth drasha, I'll read to you a sentence from the Ran, which you don't have in front of you. The Ran writes, Yaduhu shehaseichel tsoifo mashkif hadvarm hamuskolim v'hadakim v'atzmam lo yitztarach shiyin nisuim b'chayme. It's known that the seichel, the mind of a human being, is capable of focusing on the most subtle and sublime things without requiring any connection to physical matter. On the other hand, he says, v'hateva hanatua ba'adam lo yaskim l'zeh. Although the mind itself is capable of perceiving reality in a completely spiritual way, however, he says, the teva, which is natua, man's nature, which is implanted in him, will not allow him to experience that. The mind itself is capable of that. But there's a teva within the human being that's not permitting him to enjoy a thought without having some sort of a physical image. Man's teva, man's physical nature, demands that all of his musagim, all of his perceptions, all that he thinks about, be connected to his physical senses. All that he thinks about somehow be related, somehow be seen and envisioned through those senses that he's become accustomed to using. And that's how the Ran explains the importance, by the way, in education, of using mishalim. What is a mashal? What's a mashal? So mashal means, you know, you're trying to teach somebody about Hashem's relationship with the Jewish people. You say, mashal, this can be compared to a king who had a son, and the son had to be sent away, and he was crying to come home, and the father sent people to go see how he was doing, and then everybody starts crying. We say the nimshal is that Hashem has an only son, and that's Klal Yisrael, and so on. Every mashal, the Ran is explaining that every mashal that's being used, mashalim are being used in Tanakh, Nevi'im used mashalim, Nevuas were presented in such a way. And certainly in Chazal, it's widespread, and then throughout history. A mashal is taking a raw, pure, spiritual concept and drawing it into our physical lives by creating a physical scenario that we could relate to. And then trying to bring us afterwards into the nimshal to understand what is the meaning of the mashal. But that's what a mashal is all about. And it's necessary in order to teach. Because if you're going to teach somebody by using purely abstract spiritual concepts, they're not going to understand. They can't relate to that. Because even being Sof Kol Sof is meshubed, is enslaved by this teva, this nature that he has, to demand some physical form, some physical representation or image. And that is the source of the Chetah Egel, ultimately, that would lead to the sin of the golden calf. The Balatanya wrote in Likutei Torah in Vayikra, at the beginning of Vayikra, Adam Ki Yakriv. And the Balatanya writes over there that the neshama, the soul of a Jew, the neshama kedosha, has the ability to perceive reality in a way that completely transcends what one sees with one's eyes. That's the neshama, mitzad the neshama. On the other hand, the Tanya says, the nefesh of Bahamas, right? This is a Hasidish way of explaining, of writing what the Ran was talking about. On the other hand, the nefesh of Bahamas, the animal soul, right, that's related to man's physical life, the nefesh of Bahamas of a person, demands, his bodenus demands that the human being focuses and thinks about things in a real physical way. So there's the godly part of us that's asking for some spiritual sublime thought, and there's the nefesh of Bahamas, the animal part of us, that at worst can cause terrible damage and avarice, but even when it's working in a healthy way, would like to experience godliness in a geshmaka way, you know, in a way that's of this world, not in some sort of a neshamadika way. And therefore, the Tanya there in that piece talks about he explains that therefore you can't be a Jew unless you learn Torah and Nigla. If you don't learn the revealed aspects of Torah, and if you're not mekayim the physical mitzvahs, right? So then you're fooling yourself. We were learning about this in the Maral last night, a couple of chavrim. You're fooling yourself. Because the nefesh of Bahamas, the animal part of you, that animal soul, will never be satisfied with some nice edel and nakuda in Ruchnias. It has to have something of this world to relate to. Teres HaNigla, when you're learning a sugi in Gemara, and you're learning Teres HaNigla, revealed Torah, with the halachas of Torah, that come down, that are mishtalshlim all the way into this physical world that we're living in. That is the way that a person grabs onto a ladder and is able to climb up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have to have that mashal in order to bring us to the nimshal. Something that's tangible. We have to have that, and that's the nature of a person. That's why it's brought down from one of the Talmidim of the Rajba. That everybody's impressed with the fact that in this week's parasha, Adam HaRishon was able to give names to the animals. Chazal tells that the angels could not name Elohim, right? Angels couldn't name the animals. Only Adam HaRishon was able to give names. So one of the Talmidim of the Rashba, one of the Rishonim, writes that the reason for that is because a malach is completely, an angel is completely detached from all physical reality. Therefore, the whole inyan of a behema, of a physical animal, is michutz, is outside of the tchum, is outside of the domain of a malach. Not because a malach is not capable, because a malach is not of this world. Therefore, the malach is not naming animals in this world. Animals are part of this world. it's a lower domain even in this world. Masha'enikain, when it comes to an adam, to human being, since man's initial way of relating to reality is very gross and very physical and very simple, therefore adam, man alone, is able to connect and say, oh, this is a cow, this is a para, this is a sus. He's able to relate and to name the animals, since we have a shaychus, you know, we have a shaychus one with the other. So man reacts to reality in that way, where his initial perception is very physical. Therefore, he's able to give names to animals. He's able to understand an animal. A malach is an animal. What shaykhus does a malach have? Doesn't understand. So it's not the mila of man that he's able to name the animals. It's because man is man that he's able to give names. So this is something this is what the Rebbe is talking about, the Piazetzna. How do we contend with this? On the one hand, we're supposed to have these great, deep spiritual thoughts and to serve Hashem in a pure way. On the other hand, we're forbidden to visualize anything. So let's go. We're on the second line of page 19. The Kevin she is said chaver saying who shall lig over ligs a stam al ish I say kach ve kach. He says the purpose of this group, he says, of this chaver of the Bnei Machshav Tova, is not, there would be no point in me just telling in me commanding each and every one of you that do this or do that. I shall yish malanu I shall yaris atzma lema she yesh la machshav Tova service. And the Rebbe says, I don't want any of you to tell me, I have purely spiritual thoughts because you're embarrassed and you don't want to tell the truth. That's not the point, that you should be coerced and embarrassed and you should admit and be afraid to admit that you're also thinking of Hashem with a long white beard and the kisek covered is some fancy throne that you saw in some Steven Spielberg movie or something. So he says, he doesn't really have. And in truth, the guy doesn't have this. He's struggling also, the same as that chassid that admitted to the Rebbe. Other people also have the same problem. Because the truth is that every one of you wants to have a pure and wants to have a pure heart. And you want to lift yourselves up to a high madrega. You just don't know how to get out of this. You don't know how to escape this place. He says the whole foundation of this chevra, of the Bnei Machshav HaTova, of this group, of gathering together in this group, is to lean down and to put our shoulders, in other words, like to carry a load, l'mokam nemichius achavem, to the lowest point, to the lowest common denominator that all of us have to deal with, ad kapos raglei nafsho megufim, to the very heels of their souls and of their bodies. In other words, of each and every one of you. I'm not just talking to the one chassid here who's on such a madrega, because that would be fooling ourselves. Our job with the chevra, he says, is to bend over and to take upon our shoulders that burden of who we are from the yesod, from the foundation of who we are. Umisham, and from there, lahalosim, and to lift up each and every one of you, b'amtsoy mat imim lahem, in ways, using ways that are fitting, and that are applicable to each and every one of you. Lechein. Therefore, nira nagam lahem takonu ve'etze, eich lahargilam kfi matzav. Therefore, we're going to learn over here etzes. Even for those of you who are completely caught up in this simple way of thinking, we're going to discuss etzes. That means he's talking to us also, and especially to us. That we're going to talk, he says, about etzes, advice, and different means that can be used, methods that can be used to train us to think in a different way. Therefore, when a person is beginning, and he's in this matzav, he's in this situation, he's at the very beginning of that time in his life when he's trying to expand and to deepen his way of thinking. He's talking about, it makes no difference whether you're 20, whether you're 80, but you've just now realized that you must find a better way of thinking of Hashem. Yismach is atzmal ha-ravid zal. Therefore, a person like that should rely upon the ravid. Shemeshev al ha-rambam zal perik gimel, milchus shuv aloch ha-zayin, v'zel ha-shayin. He doesn't bring the whole ravid. Let me tell you what the ravid, he just brings a sentence in the ravid. The ravid there is the famous Rambam, where the Rambam says that anybody who visualizes Hashem in any way, thinks of any physical images, that the person is a min. A min, which is, I'm not going into the fine distinctions between different types of apikarsim. It means that, you're not going to get a shidduch for your kids. That's basically what it comes down to. It means you're an apikars. You're a min. It's forbidden to have such thoughts, and one is not allowed. And it's heresy. It's heresy. It's heretical. And the Rambam knew that he was contending with the simple perceptions of the masses of Jews in his time. And the Rambam, of course, was not only a doctor of the body, but he was a doctor of the soul. And the Rambam took upon his great shoulders to try to lift the generation up and to lift our people up for all time out of simple thoughts that we were submerged in. Nevertheless, there was another great man in his generation, the Ravid. And the Ravid, the Ravid wrote over there, you don't have the entire lashon, I'll read to you the Ravid. Om Avram, that's Aleph Aleph is the Ravid, Om Avram, Veloma Karla Zemmin, right? Veloma Karla Zemmin. Why did the Rambam call a person like this a min, a type of an apikaris, a heretic? The Kama Gedolim, this is the Ravid, you know, is very sharp. The Kama Gedolim V'Tayvim Imenu Halchu B'Zul Machshava. There are people who are greater than the Rambam, greater than him, who went in this way, who used physical images to visualize spirituality in Hashem. L'fima Sharob B'Mikros, as they understood in their reading of Tanakh. V'Yoyis B'Mah Sharob B'Divrei Hagodas HaMishabshes Hadeis, and even more so, as they saw in the Agados, in the Medrashim, and in the Agados in the Gemara, where there's plentiful use of physical images in describing the most spiritual mitzvahs in reality. So, what about this Ravid? No one ever told everybody else. Ah, the Ravid. So the Rebbe is teaching us here that certainly, first of all, he's going to explain Pshat and the Ravid. But he's teaching us that the Ravid is not Nidchen Gansen. The Ravid was the Ravid. So everybody is getting, you know, when he hits, you get nervous. What does that mean? You know, what does that mean? So listen to what he writes. So he brings the Ravid, Halkum Zom Achshav. Val Pi Poshet Koshel Ahoven is the Ravid Zal. He said, Al Pi Poshet, a Pshat, it's hard to understand what the Ravid is talking about. Halo Mikra Molehu, says Beferish and Chumash, Kilei Reisim Kol Tmuna. Says, when Hashem tell, when we're talking about Har Sinai, it says Kilarisim Kol Tmuna. You know, you're not allowed to see any physical image. Kilarisim Kol Tmuna. You can't have any physical image of God. I am Kesef Mishnah. Sham Kushi also. Look in the Kesef Mishnah over there. Lefi Hanal. However, according to what we're learning now, Lefi Hanal, Loisha Amar Harayvizal Sheyata Heish Sheyita Heish Leimer Sheish Chasav Shalom Lamayla Shum Tmuna. Listen how beautiful his explanation of the Ravid is. The Ravid is saying, what do you think I'm talking about? I'm not telling you that there's anything up there that's physical. What do you think? That's my hasaga of God? That he's the old man sitting on a chair? God forbid, you're not allowed to make such a mistake. That's not what the Ravid is talking about. Chas mila haskir. God forbid to even say such a thing. What the Ravid is saying, that Gedolim V'Tovim, that Tzaddikim bigger than the Rambam, said that you're allowed to think that God, Chas v'Chalil, that God is something physical? Avol kenal. But based upon what I said before, we can understand it. Be'emes yoda ish, yeda ha'ish, she'ashem yisberch, ena bal shum t'muna, Chas v'Shalom. Certainly the Ravid says God is not physical, and there's no physical chair over there. And certainly we're talking about people who know that. And the Ravid was not saying that there are tzaddikim who had such a thought that God was something physical. That is apikarsis. Raku ha-karitz mi-chaymer ish megushim bal tmuna mitzayu le-zayis. The Ravid simply recognized that man, who, as the Ran said, who is stuck in this physical way of looking at reality, can't help but think of God in such a way at times. Because man looks at everything, thinks of everything in that way. Why? But it's only Kadesha Tuchel Machshavta Lehe Ochis Lehis Gadl Lehis Rachev. The Ravid saw that only that physical thought of God, he saw that not as an end, not as something which is permissible, not as something which is reflecting upon any reality, God forbid. But he said the Ravid is teaching us that as an educational technique, as a spiritual meditative technique, one can certainly, and perhaps you could even say must begin, by using this world and the tziurim, images of this world, right? And using images of this world to begin to take hold of the bottom rung of that ladder and ultimately to climb to a higher place. That's what he's saying. In order that Shetuchal Machshov Leyochiz Les Godless Rach, he has to grab on to something. He has to grab on. The problem with the Chet HaEgel is that... With the Chet HaEgel is that they never ascended. they got stuck and they fell into that mess. But the emes is, the Ravid says that Gedolim v'Toivim, they're great tzaddikim even before the Rambam, who helped themselves and helped us take hold of godliness and to ultimately refine our way of thinking of Elokus so that we could reach ultimately through those initial stages, climbing up through those initial stages of using physical tziurim, physical images, that ultimately one would be able to come to a higher madrega where he'd be able to have thoughts and to focus his intellect, his mind and his heart on non-physical images of Elokus of God. No. Yeah, so it's not, he's saying, really one doesn't have to say there's a machlokes. What the Ravid is upset about is the Rambam doesn't recognize man's need for this, and is it being a legitimate way to begin Avodas Hashem. But the Ravid is telling us, the Rambam is talking to a select group of all-stars. You know, there are many people that had that tie against the Rambam and many other having to do with many other respects regarding his writings and so on, that the Rambam is appealing to that higher class of a small percentage of great people. But the Ravid is saying that this is a legitimate way to begin. It's not the Tachlis. And the Rambam might admit to that. It might not be necessary to create the big machlokes here. The Rambam would admit to that, that this is the need of the common person, of the average person, to take hold of godliness from that place. It's not a place that's true. Just like the marshal of the king sending his son away is also not true. The marshal is not true. It never happened. The king didn't send his kid away. That never happened. It's a story. It's make-believe. It's a fairy tale. I didn't hear. Which the Rambam deals with, right? And the Rambam explains the whole beginning of Marin Nevuchim is the Rambam's explanation of what does it mean, God's eyes, God's feet, and so on. And you're right, and the Torah also uses that. The Torah speaks to us in that way. God's eyes and God's ears and God's angry. Which the Rambam, of course, goes crazy about that in Marin Nevuchim, explaining that. And has the Rambam explained? The Rambam's explained the way the Ravid is saying. That the Torah is using the Lashon B'nei Adam, is using the way that people are accustomed in order to bring us into a Havana. What does it mean, God's eyes? It means that there's Ashgacha practice, that God knows what you're doing. Okay, since that doesn't mean that God, like goes to an optician or an optometrist or something. It was God's eyes. But from our from our way of understanding, we have to talk about Ashgacha, about Hashem knowing what we're doing by saying He's watching us. And if you're going to tell a child, if you're going to talk to the child about some profound concept of Ashgacha Pratis, and you say, and he'll say, does that mean that God is watching? You say, no, God doesn't watch. He's not a human being. So the child will not understand what you're talking about, and neither will we. So we have to work with these. We have to work on these terms. Ultimately, of course, the Rambam, there's no shaila. God is not physical. In other words, that's not the Ravid is saying, that there are great people who saw God as being physical. Chas v'shalom. That's not what it means. And then all the Kisvei Kabbalah, all the writings in Kabbalah, the Shir HaKoyim, we have, you know, describing the organs, Kivyachal of Hashem, and all these things, and representing Hashem in some sort of a physical form. That's not Chas v'chalila apikorsis. It's not that God is physical. But it's meeting man on man's terms. And taking him to a higher place, traveling along a road that he's familiar with. Otherwise he won't be able to do it. Right, so that issur is that you come to the conclusion that God is physical, which was very common in ancient times and even in modern Avodah Zarah. Wait. So that though, let's see how the Rebbe uses this chiddush that we just discovered. Right, let's see what happens to it. Right, where does this go? So what should we think of when we're davening? Right, let's see. We're gonna talk about that now. What is the? Okay. So that's what he's saying. Kidei shetuchel machshavta leochel esgalus rachim kashe yazali is Hashem v'tischazik machshavta, that ultimately Hashem will help him and his way of thinking will become strengthened and will become deepened. V'tuchel achshav Hashem machshavah chazok in the kiyah, till ultimately he will be able to think of God in a way that's strong and that's clean, meaning that's pure, where it no longer will require images, physical images. V'dimyon nitzaitz nevuah yizgalalo, on that point this person can experience a spark of prophecy, a feeling of a little bit of a spark of Ruach HaKodesh, of prophecy, when he reaches that level. And then Mimela, when a person is reaching a higher Madrega, Mimela, he won't need that Moshel anymore. He'll be able to go straight for the Nimshel. He won't need to use physical images and visualize things in that way. He'll be able to head straight to the Nimshel, to what it means. He says this need that a person has when he's davening, to see himself standing before Hashem, and that there's some sort of physical throne, and to envision that. He says that's only to train. That's only to train the mind. That's only to begin to initiate that movement of one's thoughts to a holier place. And he says now to each of the chassidim, and now you, chaver hachavraya, each one of you, b'shas hadchak, he says, tzayu lecha, sh'ata oimel lefnei kisei kvado. He's saying, b'shas hadchak. In other words, he says, this is how we have to begin. You're okay. In other words, he was telling his chassid, it's okay. If what? If you envision yourself standing in front of a throne, and you see yourself in your mind standing or throwing yourself on the floor in front of that throne, and maybe there's even some sort of an image of some aura, some light of Hashem, which is also physical. Light is also physical, right? But you see that by the throne, and you see yourself kiben. You see yourself as a child in your thoughts, throwing yourself in front of that throne at your father's feet, and you're crying out to your father, Rachim no alai avi, have rachmanis on me, my father. Please, Rabbi Shalom, I can no longer stand, I can no longer bear the demands of my body and my lack of ruchnias. In other words, cry out to Hashem. Next page, Asher Hishlachtani Mimcha. And from the time, Hashem, that you cast me away, that you threw me away from your presence, when you hid yourself from me, he says, even a man whose heart is of stone would melt. Even that heart of stone would melt if having a thought of himself, throwing himself at the feet of Hashem, at the Kisei HaKavod. Even that stone heart would melt at such a thought. How he's standing in front of the throne of Hashem, which is a fiery, consuming fire. He's begging for his life, he's begging for himself and his family, and for the entire Jewish people. Now, therefore he gives the green light. The Rebbe gives the green light. Now the question of how to use this. Because if this is God forbid, not a tachlis. If we stop learning the Sefer here, it's very bad. Right? This is not the tachlis. But he gives the green light, and he says, it's not me, it's the Raifid, and there are others, Taivim and Gudailim, without having to go through a list, who preceded the Rambam, who believed in the educational technique, and this spiritual method of growing in our relationship with Hashem by using physical images. And now the rest of the Rebbe's melacha is to teach us how and when to use this koyach, and how to refine it, and how do we take it mature and lift ourselves up from that initial way of picturing. But one should use this initially. Now, Eis Ches. Shnei Dvarim Nechutzim Lanu Shneim Chaserim. There are two things that we need so badly, and they're missing. What we're talking about is being able to expand and to refine our way of thinking, right? What we're talking about. Also, emotional arousal. This is what we're missing. Excitement in our Avodas Hashem. The two things that we're missing, basically, is a brain and a heart. That's what he's saying. You know, we're missing the ability to have this hisrachavus, this refinement of our intellect, to be able to think of Hashem in a refined way. And we're also missing the emotional hisiris and hisrakshas. We're missing that excitement when it comes to serving Hashem. And of course, these two are related. These two are really, it's really two sides of one coin. He says, certainly, when God forbid, a Jew is finds himself in a terrible situation, he's in a tzar, and he's mispal, and he cries out to Hashem. He's not missing any imagination in his mind, and there are no machshavas, and certainly he's excited, and he has his fractures, he's crying because someone that he loves is sick, and he's crying out to Hashem, or he's in trouble. And when a Jew is excited in the davening of Yom Neroim, he's able to think, his mind is strong, his emotions are strong. When you know that when a person is mislaiv, is misoyer, when he's that, it's a little bit, the sentence is a little bit, the sentence, it's not so easy to understand. I think that it's bit me, it's a question. In other words, it's a rhetorical question. When a person is excited, when a person, it's a yom neroim, or God forbid, he's in trouble, his machshavas, his feelings and his thoughts are extremely agitated, extremely aroused. So that would be like Ella Yeshlim. He doesn't say Ella. No, he says Yeshlim machshava. He certainly has a thought. He's thinking and feeling according to the matzav that he's in. Umatzav islav usay. He feels and he sees that the kisya covered, this Jew that's in trouble, this Jew that God forbid is crying out and he's in terrible trouble, he's stuck. He feels when he's davening that the kisya covered is being lowered to him. He knows that it's not something which is physical, but he needs to grab hold of it. He doesn't know what to do and he feels the kisya covered is being lowered down from Shemayim. It's nishtal shleilov. And he finds himself standing in God's presence, bistrakshus yaseir, with great emotion. He's not praising some invisible, mysterious God that's billions of miles away, that he can't see, he can't touch, he can't feel. That's not who he's crying to. That's not who he's crying out to. A thought. An energy. How close can you feel with some energy? And even energy is physical, right? Even energy is physical. You know, so those people who are, you know, whose way of thinking of God is comes from what's the famous movie that they Spielberg, you know, those movies that the whole series of them, I forgot the name of them. Star Wars, right? So he, you know, there's energy, some sort of an energy, there's good energy, there's bad energy, a force. That's also something which is physical. What's a force? So you can't, you know, you find yourself, you're in this tzara and you're saying, "Menametsa karosika anoni bamerchavka," and you say, "Ziz taten himmel," and who are you talking to? Nothing. And you and I, when we call out to our fathers, they should live and be well. When we need something, and we needed something from our fathers, we need very much to be in the presence of our father. And we need that now also. So the Rebbe says, he's not praising, he's not crying out to some invisible God that's a billion miles away, that he doesn't even know who he is, what he is, where he is. Rakas Hashem Asher Neged Einav. He's talking to God who's in front of his eyes. V'oimen, he says, L'cha Hashem ha'gdula v'agvur v'atiferes. He's saying, L'cha Hashem, you Hashem. Not, you hear me? You. You're right here. L'cha Hashem. V'chim espalel. And he says, Avi Oberachaman. My father, compassionate father, aseli kach v'kach, please do this for me. For oid zeis aseli, and I need this. Man's problem is that b'shas meister, when he's in trouble, when he needs something very, very badly, gets all excited and he has this structures, And he doesn't even have to say, he doesn't think, am I allowed to be Soymech on the Ravid? It happens. What do you mean? I have to, who am I talking to? Avada, I'm Soymech on the Ravid. And Avada, I see this throne. And Avada, I even see some feet coming out from under some mysterious talus or something to hold on to and to cry at Hashem's feet. Avada, certainly. It's not a shayla. I have to. But then the question is, why can't I later on? The problem is that later on, he says, I can't take hold of that. When the excitement has passed and I'm okay and I got out of the trouble and Hashem helped me, so now I can't, I can, so what do I do now? He says, Aleph, Mnesha, Mitzara, Haisa, Kitnus, Islav, Huso. He says, first of all, because why? Because his whole Islav is, his whole excitement originated from what? From the small, from his smallness that he was stuck in a gym, right? So his whole Islav is came from the Tsar. Came from the problems. And now, you know, so, you're driving on the highway and all of a sudden you hear the lights behind you, the police. So until then you're like, you know, everything, you're just thinking about something stupid, and then you hear the police coming, and you go, oh no, oh please, Rabban Shalom, that's another point, I'm finished, oh Rabban Shalom, please, and then you're waiting to hear the guy, you know, pull over, and then he goes and he tells some other guy pull over, and that's it, you just put the radio back on. So a second ago you were saying, Avi, Avi, Rachman, Rachim, no alai, Rachim on this, my family, how's my wife going to get there, how's my children going to get there, what am I going to do, I have to go make a parnosa, I have to meet a client, they're going to take my license, so Rabban Shalom, Rachmanis, and then it's not you, so, Yankees, da 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 da. That's it, right? So it's all finished, Gandhi. So there's no more. So he says, so because it only came from a small place. It came from, you know, you're being stuck in a situation. So you say, Tata, you know, help me, I'm in trouble. It came from there. So afterwards, the moment passes, and that's it. You had a moment of greatness because you were stuck, and what are you going to do? But then when that passed, you just become again this silly little guy, and you go on with your life. And Vahabez, and the second thing, is Kevin Sheshuv Machshov Gufonis Ubola Havina. Since you were relying upon the Ravid and you had this physical image in your mind, Uv Machshov Gufonis Urak Machshov Bailas Tziyav Adimion Yochalachshav Leilazalasa. And you never got past that. In other words, when you were in trouble, when you were in trouble, and you got a little excited. And you were calling out to Hashem. You needed the Ravid, and you needed to see that, and to use that siur, that physical siur, that physical image. But you never really got past that. Kol Hisrakshus V'Slavus HaYisraeli. The Rebbe says you should know that whenever a Jew has a Hisrakshus about who he is, about his Yiddishkeit, about the Rabbanu Shalom, whenever he gets excited, he says, Min Hisgalus HaNefesh Chutz MiGufah. You should know. That there's something that your soul is revealing to you that transcends, that's beyond anything that's physical. It's coming to you from a place, even though you're feeling it like, the way that you feel it is very physical. You feel this, you know, and you see the throne and you're feeling it and you're getting physically excited and you're shuckling and you're into this thought. But the Rebbe says, but that's really, your neshama is talking to you from a place beyond shuckling. Beyond perspiring, beyond crying. It's talking to you from a place of the nefesh, of the neshama, mamish. It's a little bit of a nevuah. You're coming into contact with something great. It's not chalil like avodah zarah, where the hisragshus of an ovid avodah zarah is coming from a statue. The hisragshus is coming from a physical thing. Billy Graham can gather together not 60,000 people, he can gather 60 million people. And they're screaming and they're rolling and they're jumping and they're clapping hallelujah and they're crying, and then they got another 100 million that's sitting at home touching the television, hoping to be healed, right? All of that hisrakshus, all of that excitement, is about this world, zeh. Nothing else. And you have a little yiddle sitting someplace, and he's saying, he's sitting someplace in the back of his shul, right? And he's saying a couple of kapitlach tehillim. And he's he says, Rabbi Shalom, my soul thirsts for you, come alacha b'sari, my flesh is longing for you. And he feels a hisrakshus that's coming from the neshama. It's coming from the neshama. There's something prophetic that's taking place. Veloma, he says, Loma sigal arik lahovinis poliser b'machshava gufonis. It's chaval. He says, to try to spend your whole life stuck in a physical way of interpreting and understanding yourself, it's chaval. Because that's not who you are. there's something much greater, and we're going to learn how to do this. And we're going to learn from the bottom, from the beginning, the techniques using the Raavad, and how to use this Raavad to make ourselves greater people who are able to experience that piece of Nevuah. Machshava Tahira Tluya Bisiris Vislavus. He comes back to this. There's a connection between these two things. Having that spiritual thought, having a thought, thinking and feeling, mind and heart. Having a Machshava Tahira, having a pure thought, depends upon being able to be excited about your Yiddishkeit. Here's the catch 22. Right? One depends on the other. Vahislavus Machshava Tahira. On the other hand, In order for me to experience real hislavus in a very profound way, I must have a pure thought. I have to have a higher level of thinking, right? So it's haba hatalia. One is holding by the other. Kil mole hayyachal haish larakech eslibay leslayev tamid. Haysa machshavtei the yosin nekiy. If a person were able to soften his heart, and to place himself into a feeling of hislavus, to get emotionally charged, spiritually charged. If he were able to do that, then certainly his way of thinking would become more pure. He would become a person whose machshavos were more nekiyos, were on a higher level, were more pure, because he's a person that's excited about his Yiddishkeit and he's into it. So mimela, his machshavos, his way of thinking would become more refined. Vilmola haysela machshav nekiyah, and the opposite is also. If he would have a machshav nekiyah, if he were able to think in a way that's more refined, then he would be able to become charged and excited. He says, whenever he would stop and meditate and use his mind, he'd be able to bring himself to a state of excitement. He would be able to consciously do that if he were able to use his mind. Therefore, a Jew has to serve God with both of these, the mind and the heart. You can't just be This bundle of feelings, this hyped up spiritual guy, without attempting to refine your way of thinking of Yiddishkeit, and similarly, you can't be, God forbid, just a cold intellect, a cold thought, without a hisrakshus and hisoyrus. You can't be either. We need both. Lavaid ulagadlas machshavtei v'hisoyrus islavuso, to strengthen and to increase one's ability to tap into these machshavos and these feelings. Emor mi'ata. Let's say now, understand. It's not enough for us to speak about having more refined thoughts about meditation and thinking in a more refined way, in a more spiritual way. We have to discuss, how does one go about awakening the heart, the emotions? And the chapes eitzes v'sachbulais, and we have to search for different eitzes, for different means of doing this. V'Hashem yo'ir einenu, may Hashem illuminate our eyes, v'yazer lanu, and help us. Shenu kol sof, that ultimately lahormes atzmenu mi'al gvul hazoyim, that we should be able to lift ourselves up way above and beyond the borders of this filth sheshkanu by atzavrenu, that we're sitting in until our necks, our throats. To lift ourselves above the schmutz, the filth of such small, silly lives. Of course, in this sefer, B'nei Machshava Torah, the Rebbe is giving the most basic beginnings and guidelines. In his sefer, in the svarim, Chavis HaTalmidim, and Hachsharus HaAvreichim, and particularly in Hachsharus HaAvreichim, since Chavis HaTalmidim, he was speaking to Bachram, to Yeshiva Bachram, you know, the Rebbe warned us that you should first learn. He did not want anybody learning Hachshavos Avreichim until they went through Chavis HaTalmidim, at least to go through it, at least once to go through it, even in a superficial way, but to learn first Chavis HaTalmidim. And he certainly did not want Bachrim to learn Hachshavos Avreichim before learning Chavis HaTalmidim. However, I heard from an old Pailo Shayid that a tremendous Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim, who said that he had a Kabbalah from the Tzaddikim, and he spoke to the Ger Rebbe about this. That the warning of the Chavis HaTalmidim, of the Piyazetzna, was really directed to Bachrim, because he was concerned that Hachsharos Avreichim and B'nei Machshava Tova, that these would be, it would be on a level that children would experience if they would go to this, they would have, God forbid, a Shvirus HaKeilim, would be too much for them. So really, in Yitzhak Hashem, We need to, after going through this, which is the basic guidelines, then we're going to have to work on the Hachshavas Avreichim, which is much longer and much more detailed and more powerful than B'nai Machshava Tayyib. But this is for us a beginning. But if someone is able to learn the Chavis HaTalmidim this year, if you'd be able to buy the Chavis HaTalmidim, in Hebrew you can get it in any Sfarim store, and in English it's been reprinted, I believe it's available again. It was out of print for a while, a student's obligation. I think you can get it now. So it would be definitely very, very kedai to try to learn Chavis HaTalmidim so that next year, in Mitzvah Shema, when we finish the Kuntrius B'nai Machshava Tayyib, we'll be able to learn Hachshavas Avreichim and to talk about ideas that we're familiar with, that we won't have to go back all the time to Chavis HaTalmidim, which is the initial introduction to concepts. The Hachshavas Avreichim is more advanced. So here the Rebbe is going to present some basic guidelines. Nevertheless, they are presented in a way that would probably be too much for a typical Bachar. I mean, back in Poland in 1930, and now it wouldn't be too much for a kid. He simply wouldn't read it. Just say, this is crazy, I'm getting out of here, right? And he was talking to Hasidic Bachrim in the 1920s, 1930s, who were used to hearing and experiencing, you know, certain things that the kids nowadays, it would be hard for them to imagine, not just a picture of God, but nowadays it would be hard for the kids to imagine not doing it with a joystick, right? Like, or with a mouse, right? So they don't think anymore of the Kisei HaKavod. The Rebbe's very old-fashioned. There's a Kisei HaKavod. You're throwing yourself in front of the Kisei HaKavod. Now they would see it in front of a kid would envision in front of a computer screen that there's God, and he's going with the mouse trying to get to the feet of the throne, the foot of the throne, right? So we're mamish, what the Rebbe's saying, we're mamish submerged in filth and silliness and stupidity. So we have to take ourselves out. Really, we should begin with Chavis to review it on the long Holy Friday nights are coming up, Mitzvah Shem, very soon, right? Like the Tzaddikim used to call the Holy Winter Nights. So we have time, so one should try, if possible, to learn Chavis HaTalmidim.
Is the English translation a fair translation?
The English translation of Chavis HaTalmidim is fantastic. It's spectacular. It's really beautiful. The English translation is beautiful. The introduction, the preface, everything is... It's a masterpiece. The Chavis HaTalmidim in English is a masterpiece. Right? This is Vihine. The Rebbe says Vihine. Im lahaschel b'rishayne b'sayru shel kedusha. If we would begin by discussing his iris of kedusha, an awakening of holiness, a feeling of holiness, ein b'chaylas adam. This is not something that man is capable of, right? So he says, "This is the Rebbe." He says, "No shuvna el darkeinu." Therefore, let us return to our path. Laredes al tachtis gufashal adam. Let us descend to the lowest common denominator. Let's descend to the bottom part of man's physical life. Umisham, and from there lahaloisa, and to lift him up from that place. Vinaschil nabis irus gufanis. Therefore, we must begin, as the Ravid said, we must begin bis irus gufanis. We must begin with physical images. Ki ka'omer. Because as I've said, kol hisayrus afilu im gufanis, every hisayrus, every awakening, even if it's gufanis, even if it's initially with these physical images, hi mafteach lenefesh, it is a key to the soul. It is a key to get into the soul, to unlock a deeper place. It's a door leading you to the nefesh. Being bored, cold, lifeless, detached, means the place that the nefesh is locked. You can't get in. When you're excited, you're awakened, it could be about something which is physical, it could be even something which is dumb. But it means you have the key in your hand. And you have to just go vital, you have to know how to use it. And the Rebbe's going to teach us how. You have to keep on using that, and you're going to eventually get to that door that's your heart, that's your soul. Moshe le'ish she'helilu la'abano. I've spoken about this before in shul, this moshel of the Piyazetzna. This is a moshel of a person, she'helilu al-benoi, that his son was accused of some crime. And he was placed in jail. And he's not allowed this. The father is not allowed to see his son. The only time he's allowed to see his son is if the warden, if the jailkeeper, opens the cell and lets the father in, because the father has information about the case of the son. He has some information that he has to discuss with his son. That's the official rule. You're only allowed to visit if you have some information. The lawyer can come, the son, and they let the warden, the jailkeeper will let him in for a couple of minutes into the cell to speak to the son. Ha'av ha'pesi, the silly father, kevin shalit tzarech mishpato paschu, since he knows that the only reason that the warden opened up the cell was for him to discuss the case with his son. He goes in for those 5 minutes that he's allowed, or the 10 minutes he's allowed. He only discusses with him the legalities of the case. That's a fool. Hachochem, he says, the wise father, it's true, the wise father says, it's true, Taka. Shesar beisasaya pasach, that this lowlife, this jailkeeper, you know, some beer-drinking, tattooed guy over there, let me in. He's the one that let me in. Is Taka true? He was the one that opened up the cell. Avol benkach or benkach hanafkim. I'm in, right? The door's open. What's the difference who opened it? But it's open. Haloi kvar pasuach. The jail's open. Ubonai ubni lefona. And my child is in front of me here. Achapkeyu, fa'anashkeyu. I must hug him and I must kiss him. And I have to speak them words of love. A father with a son. Then we'll talk over about the case. But once I'm in, he says, whenever you get excited about things of this world, you know, you got a promotion, you came up with a great idea, you got a new car, you know, something great happened, you're excited about something. Anytime that happens, he says, that's the jailkeeper. It could be something dumb. What's the difference? As long as it's not against halacha, right? What's the difference? He says, Pesachas nitzaitz minavsha. It opens up a spark of your soul. It's opening up the prison that has locked your neshama in for your entire life. Is being opened. Avol benkach nizgal ha-nefesh mat. What are you asking? How did it happen? What's the difference? Nizgal ha-nefesh mat. Your nefesh, you're facing your soul. You're coming to a part of you there's emotions that you haven't felt in a long time. Right? When the Baal Shem HaKadosh said in the name of Reb Sadia Gaon, it's brought from Reb Yitzchak from Akka, one of the great earlier Mekubalim from the time of the Ramban. From the time of the Ramban, they used to say that someone who has never loved a woman is not capable of loving God. Is not capable of loving Hashem. Doesn't know what it means. And the Rambam, when he describes the love of Hashem, he compares it to the love of a woman, that you can't eat and you can't sleep, you're so excited by the relationship and so on. So once the heart is open, until that time that you, in other words, until you met that person, until you were able to experience that simple emotional love in a relationship between a man and a woman, so it could be that your heart was cold and closed, you never met your neshama, your pasha never did. Same thing with a child. And until you had a child, it could be that you were never softened to come to that place. And you have some of the toughest people in the world, some of the angriest people in the world. You know, I mentioned this maybe in shul, but I'll just to repeat it, because at this point it's important, that it always amazes me. You know, you're surrounded by anti-Semites, I don't have to tell you. And even the ones that are not anti-Semites, the rednecks, the hoodlums, the thugs, everywhere you go, right? So if I'm just there by myself, so a lot of times I'll get some crack, hachu, right? You get some crack, or the guy's just saying some four-letter word, or whatever it is. You know how many times it's happened? I'm sure you can share this with me, but it's happened to me many, many times, that I get out of the car with my little girl, with my shiffy, and we're walking someplace, and the most hardened criminal and thug, shiffy, she's very talkative, and she'll say, hi, what's your name? And I'm looking at these guys, Shalom. What's his name? Better ask what's the cell number? What's his name? Every time, it hasn't happened yet. Every time these scary looking guys, when a little girl will say, hi, mister, what's your name? Did you see my toy? They'll look like little babies. They're so cute. These tough guys. If their girlfriends would see them, they'd never go on the bike again with them. Right? These tough guys. Hi, what's your name? So cute. And I'm very moved by that. When that happens, I find it a very moving thing, because you know why? It restores my hope in mankind. The children can do that. Children can do that. They can draw out from the toughest person a place that's soft, that's real, that's been covered up over decades of, who knows, Nebuch abuse and neglect. What are most of these people, Nebuch, what they've been through in their lives, we couldn't imagine. Neglect and abuse and so on, right? And yet, a child is able to touch that part of a person that comes from a place way inside that prison, and is able to open up the door to something. And nobody's ever going to go with that. It doesn't go anywhere. So, you know, he remains the angry, dangerous person. But for a child, and a lot of these guys, the toughest guys, the meanest guys in the world, they'd be mice and nefesh to help a kid. They would be mice and nefesh to help a kid. So that is a very powerful technique. It's a very powerful thing. Now, you know that many Sfarim would say, you're such a liar. You are such a phony hypocrite. You're not interested in God. You just love your kid. And now you're all excited about your kid. So now you think like you're excited about Hashem. You're an idiot. Right? You find this in Sfarim. But you must know that that's not the Derech HaBaal Shem. This is the Derech HaBaal Shem. I'm not saying right or wrong, but this is what we're learning. This is the Derech HaBaal Shem. Yeah, obviously you know what I believe. And this is the Derech HaBaal Shem Tov, which is the Derech that if not for the Baal Shem HaKadosh being sent into this world in these last years before Mashiach Tzidkenu, there wouldn't be one Jew left on earth. This is the Derech HaBaal Shem, which is the Derech of Torah, which the Baal Shem HaKadosh was strengthening, was Megal in his Talmidim, that already by this day came out the whole world, even in the ones that claim to still be misnagim, they're asking, what did Reb Tzadik say? What does the morale say? Because the morale is just the site of Teresa Balshan. So when a person comes to that place, he says, what's an afkimina? How the door got opened? Who opened the door? The Metzius is it's open. That means that you're experiencing, you are coming into contact, it could be for the first time in a while. You come into contact with your nefesh. That has to be, you have to use that for something. Don't let it get wasted. Don't waste that experience. That's what the Rebbe explains. What?
Doesn't matter how you got
it. It matters because I said before, remember what did I say when I started this? As long as it's not against halacha.
No, I understand.
Right.
It's not when the person takes a little l'chaim.
A little l'chaim is something which is used very much by tzaddikim and by chassidim. And especially if you look in the Svarm of Chabad, and the way that tzaddikim felt about that, yeah, there's a little bit of l'chaim. The problem is that, like many things, when you have with people who call themselves chassidim, or that they consider themselves to go in the way of chassidus, that they're far from any madregas, their reason to make the l'chaim has nothing to do with kedusha hisragshus. We're not talking about a couple of old Russian chassidim sitting in a fabrengen someplace in Kfar Chabad at 4 a.m. You know what they're talking about when they get drunk? You know who these people are? These old chassidim, what kind of people they are? We're talking about guys that like to drink and they use religion as some sort of an excuse. That's not the l'chaim. It's the same thing. It has to do, is it nice to wear a chassidish levush to go through these different things? Avada, it's beautiful. What's the shayla? L'chaim is not beautiful. L'chaim is beautiful. I believe me, I'm a con to people that can do it, and I can't. But it's avada, it's a good thing. And l'chaim to warm a Jewish heart. And to be able to bring Mishnech Nesyayin Yetzisod, to bring out the Soid HaNefesh, that's what it means, Mishnech Nesyayin. It means to open up the cell. It means to get to come. And a little bit of Mashke has a very powerful ability to do it. The problem is that when a person's Avoide, when he's not a Baal Avoide, and his Tachlis is not to serve Hashem, his Tachlis is to indulge, then what becomes of that is just Stama Chaza, Stama Fresser. And that's what that's what makes me sick. All those who call themselves chassidim, they sit around getting drunk, stam, and this is the holy need of wearing of going in a levush is to be able to become a bigger balgaiver. You weren't a big enough balgaiver before you wore the levush. You have to be a bigger balgaiver. Look at me, my coat's longer than yours. So this whole avoid is not, it's not a tachlis of his iris, it's not a hisrakshus, it's not a gili hanefesh. You know, when these so-called chassidim or whoever they are making these l'chaims, they're not doing that to reveal a part of their neshama. That the Rebbe's talking about that. Their tachlis is to reveal the guf. They want more guf. They want something more physical. That's not what we're talking about.
That's what Rabbi Nachman said.
Rabbi Nachman hated drinking. And everybody would think, boy, the Breslovers, they must be into that, right? Because, you know, they think, woo-hoo, the Breslovers. And Rabbi Nachman, you know, Rabbi Nachman was out there. Rabbi Nachman despised drinking. That doesn't mean that Rabbi Nachman did not recognize the honored institution of a l'chaim. He appreciated that, and they certainly drank a l'chaim, but he kept very close tabs in every one of his chassidim, because he knew that when it comes to avodah and tefillah and Torah and everything else, you're not such a big chassid. All of a sudden, when it comes to drinking, Right? So these are the people that they tell me, you have these people that get up to daven, you see, you drive through a chesed, you see guys walking around 12:30 in the afternoon with a talisman tefillin. What is that? Come on. Avoid the hachanis. Yeah, because Rabbi Leib Leiger and Rabbi Leib Leiger and the Kotzke and the Rebbe Abunim, they used to have these hachanis. What are you talking about? Who are you fooling? So you're not getting up. Why aren't you getting up at 7 o'clock? Why aren't you getting up at 6 o'clock? Why didn't you put in why did you do that? You know why? That's not because you need the hachanis to get to your neshama. Come on, Bubba Mises. It's because you're lazy, and now you have a religious excuse for being lazy. This is a very dangerous thing. This is the downside of where all of this can lead if it's not properly handled. Which the tzaddikim said, like Rav Kook, that I've often quoted here in Shul, that ma'at sichlis yikara, it's so important for a Jew to have a little bit of precious silliness. That's a l'chaim, a little bit. A l'chaim is a pesach. A l'chaim is a way to get into something. A levush, a rikud, a nigin, but you know, my boys like in yeshiva, they don't understand, because I always think Shabbos in yeshiva, I sing with them the gunim. So but then they can't figure me out. So what happens is, like, I walk in on a Tuesday and it's after and they already davened. I'm coming there and I walk into the class and the guys see me come down the hall and they break out into a big rikud, into a big nigin. They start singing. I come to the class. I say, be quiet, sit down, open your gemara. Oh, what happened? Rebbe loves Nagunim. So they sit down, they open the Gemara. Oh man, what's going on? So can't believe it. We thought we're gonna have a good time, and no nigga, no dance, nothing. Just Gemara. What is going to be over here? So then they're looking at me. You know, I see that look. You know, they feel bad. I said, look, don't play games. You want to do that? Don't give me the having the gila business. You understand? Because I don't go for that. A niggun is something that you have to work on. A niggun is something on Friday after we'll learn a sefer, we'll learn with a sermon for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then we'll try to come to Madrega to have a niggun. Or you want to use a niggun to open the heart, but don't use a niggun to play around and to miss some time from learning. That's not, by me, that's not a niggun. I don't go for that. So one has to be careful. Avada, it's a Pesach. But when one doesn't use it as a Pesach, when one fools oneself to thinking, that's why personally the whole meaning of drinking, I have such a strong distaste for, because you know why? Maybe it's my fault. I just don't trust the people that are doing it. When I see a Yid that's a Balavayda, and he drinks more than one thing. You know, the Lubavitcher Rebbe by Febrengen, it wasn't normal how much he drank. It wasn't al pi derech hateva that a human being wouldn't simply die. Did you see what he used to drink? Simchas Torah, what do you have? He made hundreds of l'chaims on full glasses of vodka. It's not b'derech hateva that he did such a thing. Because when the Rebbe did such a thing, it's like when a tzaddik, when a chassid drinks, so it's mizbasein. Chai v'nish levsumi b'puria, it's mizbasein. Like Reb Leibler says, there's a fragrance. He smells good from a drink. But when stam, an idiot, drinks, he smells like a drunk. You understand? And this is what I don't like. That's why I have this night. That people say, what is it? It's chassidus. All this late sonness that makes me, I'm so tired of all this late sonness, these new chassidim and nah chassidim. A balavoida is entitled to a drink. A drinker, it's better that he stay away, or to go for some therapy, or to go to Alcoholics Anonymous. If he wants to be able to drink Kiddush clubs, what's Kiddush club? What does it mean, a Kiddush club? What's the institution of Kiddush club? That they gave it a name, Kiddush Club, as if it's something which is a chiluk of the avoid of Klal Yisrael, that we make Kiddush. What Kiddush Club? It just means one thing. You're Bal Taiva. Don't put any Jewish words in front of your Taiva. Just say, Taiva Club. This is a Taiva Club. And that's all it is. What are you making? A Kiddush Club. Kaddish, Urchatz, Karpas, Yachatz. Gornish. It's a Taiva Club. And you're an honored member in your silly little Taiva Club. That you can't sit and listen to a Kriyas Torah, to a Haftarah, because of your taiva. You couldn't even wait till you get home to have a drink. You're such a bal taiva. You couldn't even wait till you got home. You don't even have the respect for the Rebbeinu Shalom to wait till you get home. You want to have a l'chaim? You want to make a kiddush on a little schnapps? So gesundheit. You couldn't wait till you get home. In the shul, they're reading from the Dvar Hashem, from the words of a navi. A navi is talking to you. And you're sitting with your chevra over there someplace in a room in the shul. You're so choshev. And then they'll tell you, I'm a real chassid. This is the derech habal shah. Everybody becomes a chassid when it comes to these inyanim. not when it comes, not nishka mikveh, no. Not mikveh, right? It's a lot easier to buy a bekesh than to go to the mikveh, that's for sure. So not a mikveh, and not learning chassidus for 2 or 3 hours a day, and not all the avodah that goes into what chassidus means. A person might not be holding, but a person has to have a rosh and a tshuka to be a big person. Or else you're fooling yourself. Or else you're feeling yourself, every time you can open up one of the Svarim HaKadoshim, it's tam a game. It can be a game that you're playing. The Rebbe's not talking about games. When we're learning this from the PSS, and I want you to understand, when he's talking about this Ravid, he's talking about a serious guy. He's talking about that Chosid 2 pages ago that was crying. That Rebbe, I want to be a better Jew. He's not talking about somebody that's playing a game. I want to be a shtadi Jew. I want to be a cool Jew. I want to impress my friends. He's talking about someone that's crying to be a real Jew. Then you can use the Ravid. But if you're playing games and you're stum, that just means you're looking for some way to enter deeper into the physical world, but you want to feel good about yourself, so you give it a Jewish name. You make a Kiddush club. That's not what he's talking about. I have no doubt at all that no one would have dared to make such a thing in the presence of such a tzaddik. But I have no doubt in my mind that I don't know if they had Kiddush clubs back in those days. It's hard for me to believe. I mean, I don't know. I never would have thought of asking my father. I don't know if my father knows that they exist now either. He never left shul. But the thought of it is, the thought of the Ramban or Rashi walking into a Kiddush club is something which we can't even enter into that thought, because it would cause too much of a violent reaction, right? So you understand, it's a serious matter and has to be taken seriously. A L'chaim is a serious thing, and there are sperm written about what a L'chaim means, but it's L'chaim v'loy lamavis. Not people who are playing games with their L'chaims, that just don't want to be drunks and have a good time at the expense of the Rebbeinu Shalom and to look good. That's not what we're talking about. So Mitzvah Shem will continue. We'll continue to deepen our understanding of the Nimshel of this Moshel next week. Shkoyach.